Allegedly, I am suffering from moderate hearing loss, and if I don't want it to get a whole lot worse, it's going to require some really expensive treatment that my insurance does not cover. This terrible news was shared with me by two out of the three hearing aid specialists who gave me a free comprehensive hearing test at three different large hearing aid retailers. Thankfully, I do not actually have any level of hearing loss that I need to be concerned about right now. It's just that you and I live in a Black Mirror episode where private equity and professional con artists have turned hearing and tinnitus treatment into a fucking carnival game.
So, do you have trouble hearing?
Yeah, I guess you could just turn your volume up. Do you have hearing loss or frequent tinnitus or ringing in your ears? Or are you a musician and having either one of those things at some point in your life is like your worst nightmare?
This video is about the kind of epic amount of weird, unusual, and complicated things that are happening between the sound coming out of your speakers right now and your brain, and how that finely tuned system will get crappier as you age. In fact, there's about a 30% chance that it'll get so crappy that it'll qualify as a disability with the ADA.
The good news is that a lot of hearing loss is not only treatable, but preventable. The bad news is that there are a lot more capitalists than scientists in the $30 billion hearing loss industry. But if you stick around to the end of this video, you're almost certainly going to want to have your hearing tested, and it's really, really important that you know how to get that done properly and not get some sort of sham test that's designed to burgle you senseless. Let's do this. If you follow this channel, then you are probably already very aware of just how crazy acoustics are. After all, sound is just an infinite variety of pressure waves traveling at different speeds, lengths, and shapes. And those acoustic pressure waves allow bats to locate insects to eat. It allows factories to fuse materials together. We could use them to harmlessly peer inside of the human body and dissolve blood clots and kidney stones and fight cancerous tumors. And most importantly, by far, for the survival of our species, those acoustic pressure waves allow us to scream at our drinkware in hopes of transforming it into dangerous shards of glass. Yeah! But there is one thing that I rarely talk about here on Acoustic Island: hearing. And that is because the complex physiology of the human ear is something that people spend many, many years in college just to completely understand. And only then do we cross over into the neurological realm where your brain picks and chooses which sounds to hear and how to interpret those sounds. And I definitely can't explain that on this channel because we have yet to entirely suss out how it works. So keeping it light, here's what you need to know about the weird-looking flap holes on the sides of your head. Pressure waves hit your pinna, which have precise curves to help your brain solve whether a sound is coming from behind you or in front of you. The pressure waves move into your ear canal and then vibrate your eardrum. And on the other side of your eardrum lives three tiny bones that sort of act like a vibrating spring to transfer the vibrations to your cochlea. The cochlea is quite literally a spiral-shaped labyrinth that's filled with fluid and about 15,000 really tiny hairs. And when I say really tiny, I mean like electron microscope really tiny. So as the pressure wave travels through the fluid in the spiral labyrinth, I know this sounds like a fucking fairy tale, the hairs that are catching the highest frequencies are on the outside of the spiral, and the frequency range gets lower and lower as you get towards the center, or the apex. Along this route is your organ of Corti, which contains even more hair cells. The inner hair cells are responsible for detecting types of sounds and transmitting information to the brain. The outer hair cells discriminate frequencies to enhance those that best suit your survival. This information is then transformed into electrical signals and sent along your cochlear nerve to the primary auditory cortex in the temporal lobe of your brain. I'm obviously skipping over a lot of details and it gets a lot more complicated than that, but that's the gist of it, and it's kind of crazy, right? So what goes wrong when your hearing stops working? Hearing loss is generally broken down into two primary categories. The first is conductive hearing loss, which means that there's some type of obstruction, whether it's fluid, inflammation, a tumor, or a coin that a magician forgot to receive. Most conductive hearing loss can be treated with intervention, like surgery or anti-inflammatories. On the other hand, sensory neural hearing loss happens when there is damage in your inner ear, and since the mechanism of your inner ear is so incredibly complicated, so is the process of determining the cause and potential treatment for your hearing loss. But some common causes of sensory neural hearing loss are those tiny hairs in your cochlea either never growing or maybe becoming less functional due to aging or being damaged from overstimulation, aka a lot of loud noises. Since the mid-1700s, scientists have been trying to cure deafness by shooting electrical impulses into the brain, and while I'll spare you the gruesome and unsettling details of the early experiments, the first cochlear implant procedure was performed in 1961. By the 1990s, these became much more mainstream in developed countries, and it became far less common to encounter somebody under the age of 50 who was entirely unable to hear. Cochlear implants are like something out of Star Trek. You have an external microphone that you wear that converts sounds into electrical signals and wirelessly transmits them to a receiver inside your ear. That receiver sends those signals to an electrode array surgically implanted inside of your cochlea, and then your auditory nerve and brain treats them as if they were organic messages from your cochlea, allowing you to hear. It's worth noting that implants don't restore normal human hearing, as in the brain will have to adjust to the new signals the same way they did when you were a young child. But by completely bypassing the damaged part of the inner ear, the patient can hear and eventually identify sounds again. That is so incredibly cool. People who may not qualify for cochlear implants but are dealing with enough hearing loss to not benefit much from hearing aids may be recommended electroacoustic stimulation, which is more or less a cochlear implant for frequencies lacking all functions, and then bone-anchored hearing aids for the rest of the audio spectrum. There's also a newer type of technology that's basically an auditory brainstem implant, which bypasses the cochlea entirely and replaces the auditory nerve. Then there's bone conduction hearing aids, which resonate sound through your skull rather than using an eardrum or middle ear that's performing poorly. And then, of course, you have regular hearing aids, which have come a really long way, but I probably should have started with those because they kind of sound boring now in comparison to having a robot auditory nerve in your head. For the last 50 years or so in the United States, hearing aids were available almost solely as prescriptions through an overall treatment program from a doctor or an audiologist. As the technology progressed, hearing aids would have customized fits and functions as they can be reprogrammed for particular needs. As with anything that is paywalled by the American healthcare systems, hearing aids became prohibitively expensive for people, with some devices costing as much as $10,000. And that doesn't even include doctor's appointments, hearing tests, or routine maintenance. To a lot of people, the cost of prescription hearing aids very much seems like a racket. And in my opinion, that's because it is. It's just another arm of the U.S. healthcare racket. If having a baby without insurance costs an average of $30,000, why would you expect hearing aids to be affordable? In 2017, Congress passed a somewhat controversial bill that would make a new class of FDA-approved hearing aids over-the-counter, meaning that you could buy them without any doctor involvement whatsoever. And it doesn't seem controversial at all if you don't understand how hearing aids work and just think that they're AirPods with microphones on the outside. But an evil portal opened up with this new legislation, and it started a new industry that could completely ignore pesky things like science, evidence, and efficacy, and zero in on the unethical businessman's favorite thing in the world, the wallets of senior citizens. And instantly, the market was flooded with free online hearing tests and hearing aids of all shapes and sizes, ranging from $50 to the ballpark of prescription hearing aids.
You don't have to go get a hearing test. This is a way for you to be able to take matters into your own hands, yes, and possibly have something that can enhance your life. I think if you're struggling right now, it's worth it to give them a try.
Once upon a time, if you had hearing loss, you would need to make an appointment with an audiologist, have an in-person hearing exam before you could be fitted for hearing aids.
That's what my mom did. She had no hearing test, didn't have to go to a doctor, didn't have to get a prescription. She just got these home.
Prescription hearing aid brands made over-the-counter models, while some new companies, often backed by private equity groups, would compete by doing everything in their power to make understanding the difference between healthcare and earbud amplifiers as difficult and confusing as possible. For example, a company called Nano Hearing Aids, founded in 2017, it's a coincidence, have been accused of falsely claiming that their over-the-counter hearing aids were FDA approved, and even though you could easily find their hearing aids on Alibaba for pennies on the dollar, they claim that they were designed and manufactured in Minnesota, right here in the US of A. They even promoted these products for children, and then when your grossly overpriced hearing aids didn't work well, they'd refuse to honor their 45-day money-back guarantee.
Nano denied both of their refunds, in each case sending the customer a picture claiming the hearing aids were damaged.
They had an online test that they falsely claimed worked as a free audiology consultation that was reviewed by a live audiologist that totally existed. And they still have a different test on their website today. I decided to tell them that I was a 70-year-old man that suspected to have hearing loss, and I took the test a day after having my hearing professionally cleared, and I failed. I took the test again, saying that I was a 20-year-old that didn't suspect any hearing loss, and I passed. Could be a coincidence, although one could just go through the test logic on the JavaScript to see how the test works. Then my personal favorite. In 2021, Eargo had a multi-million dollar ad campaign that targeted federal employees with free hearing aids.
Convenient, right?
If you're an active or retired federal employee, you can now get Eargo at no cost to you.
Eargo had to cough up a $32 million settlement after a whistleblower outed them for making up random test result diagnosis codes and crossing their fingers and hoping that nobody would ever type in hearing diagnosis codes into a search engine and realize that they've been paying for an impairment that didn't exist. But despite scamming the government and giving hearing aids to thousands of people who may not have required them, and despite getting caught doing all of this and obviously losing their contract with the U.S. government, and despite now facing a Department of Justice-backed security lawsuit for misleading investors, Eargo retailers and partners still make claims about free hearing aids for federal employees. Hearing aids are effective as customized medical devices that are part of an overall treatment program. They're not simply sound amplifiers that you wear on your ears. The really messed up thing about this is that it's completely plausible for somebody with no hearing loss whatsoever to take a fake hearing test, buy an over-the-counter hearing aid based on professional recommendation, and then damage their hearing by the amplification, feedback, and overuse that can be caused by these devices. Unfortunately, and probably unintentionally, the most significant accomplishment of the over-the-counter hearing aid bill was removing the most important part of hearing loss treatment: the doctor. Tinnitus, or some people say tinnitus, is a pretty common ailment that affects around 15% of the population, and most of us think of the all too familiar ear ringing sound, but it technically defines any type of phantom sound. Hissing noise or buzzing is also common. Some people hear clicks or low hums. That's where most of my knowledge about tinnitus is, by the way, when researching the hum phenomenon. You probably already know this, but tinnitus is commonly caused by prolonged exposure to loud noises, so it's very common with musicians, veterans, and people who share a bed with roosters. Speaking of roosters, to prevent hearing damage, they've evolved these pieces of soft tissue in their ear that partially covers their eardrums when they crow. And this is in addition to their outer ear covering their ear hole completely when they tilt their head back. So my advice to you would be to evolve some inner eardrum flaps before going to a loud concert or shooting range. Anyway, you are more likely to suffer from tinnitus if you're a male, or if you have hypertension, or if you suffer from stress. Now, if you all of a sudden started experiencing unilateral tinnitus, which is a fancy way of saying only one ear tinnitus, you'll definitely want to go to a doctor and get that checked out, because it's a bit more likely to be a symptom of another related problem, like hearing loss, Meniere's disease, or just a bunch of wax stuck in your ear. But it seems like in the majority of tinnitus cases, the brain has detected some form of hearing loss and is trying to help restore the frequency balance by filling in the gap. Remember those tiny hairs in the spiral maze? Let's say that some of them got damaged not too far from the opening, around 9,000 hertz. The hair cells in your organ of Corti may try to signal your brain to compensate for the lack of representation in those frequencies. But if it's not doing that precisely and perfectly, you will now hear a phantom sound that others do not. We can try and emulate this. Let's say that we have some damage around 3,200 hertz. And now your organ of Corti and brain is now compensating for that damage by prioritizing sound in this general region. Tinnitus and hearing loss are like BFFs, and it can also be caused by things like genetics or autotoxic drugs. In fact, an old cure and treatment for headaches was to chew the bark of a white willow tree and keep chewing it until you hear ringing. As it would turn out, willow trees contain a lot of salicylic acid, otherwise known as aspirin, and tinnitus is a symptom of aspirin overdose. Tinnitus is classically a very common side effect for a wide range of drugs, from antibiotics to antidepressants to sedatives to virtually every over-the-counter pain reliever. And musicians, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but cannabis can also cause it. It seems like throughout your life, giving yourself tinnitus is extremely easy, but making it go away, unfortunately, is a whole different story. If you can't pinpoint or eliminate a particular cause, like an autotoxic prescription drug or earwax buildup, then a lot of times the next thing you'll be recommended is sound therapy, which is a nice and professional way to tell you to just put a fan on or some background music to distract yourself from your tinnitus. A similar option is cognitive behavioral therapy or tinnitus retraining therapy, which more or less just kind of teaches you to not be as bothered by your tinnitus. I realize that these treatments sound very underwhelming at face value, although they are pretty effective for some people. But science and neurology to the rescue, it seems like there might be some better options in the next decade. Unfortunately, there seems to be a large, flourishing market of ineffective tinnitus treatment, ranging from pills to sprays to tools, patches. watches, inhalers, headphones, electronic devices, headbands, and pretty much any noun that comes after the words tinnitus masking.
You want to talk about an industry that has just scam after scam. Like, outside of the world of like hearing aids, tinnitus is like the worst. These really small companies, like, they're not really a target of any type of like, you know, big class action lawsuits or things like that. So people just have to educate themselves. I mean, that's the whole reason I started my channel, so people could actually just educate yourself. Because caveat emptor, right? It's buyer beware out there.
That's Dr. Cliff Olson, a highly regarded audiologist who runs his own practice in Phoenix. He also has a YouTube channel that is an excellent professional source of information on hearing loss, and we'll hear more from him later. Sadly, the journey to find relief from tinnitus is incredibly confusing and misleading for most people. And this is intensified as there are newer products that sit in a gray area between proven efficacy and a money pit. A few years ago, I read an article about Lanier, an FDA-approved device that sends tiny shocks to your tongue to retrain your brain to focus away from the neural pathways that are causing the tinnitus. It is claimed that 91.5% of Lanier patients experienced clinically meaningful reduction of tinnitus. Wow. A pair of headphones that's connected to a little spoon that shocks your tongue is kind of silly sounding, but it's pretty plausible. In fact, some of my first private research gigs were in the field of acoustic neurofeedback, which is a way to use sound together with EEG machines to sort of guide targeted neuroplasticity in your brain. This is a bold claim, but I think that tinnitus is almost entirely curable through neurofeedback, as it's usually an exclusively neurological symptom. But Lanier started to make some pretty big waves in science websites and headlines and social media, and it's a frequent topic among tinnitus sufferers online. I do not consider myself an expert, but at face value, I was a little bit skeptical of Lanier because it lacked the whole EEG part of the equation. Purchasing a Lanier unit typically costs patients between $4,000 and $5,000, and while this is speculatory, I would be extremely surprised if the devices themselves cost more than a few $100s to make. There is no refund policy whatsoever. And whether your device worked for you or not, you are prohibited from reselling it, even to a certified technician or audiologist that could reprogram the device for someone else.
By the way, if you're not interested in this, feel free to skip to the next section. A lot of my viewers suffer from tinnitus, and I've been asked for a take on this. These are three of the five total, I think, research papers sponsored by Neuromod, the creators of the Lanier device. And the first few are the ones that are often cited in press releases and then generate these types of headlines. Tinnitus is typically a neurological ailment, so it's pretty abstract by definition. The initial study that made so many headlines didn't create a system to define what improvement or relief meant. This framework already exists, and it's called the Tinnitus Functional Index, and it's frequently used by researchers. It's been cited over 300 times in the past 12 years since it was published. From what I could tell, the Lanier studies also didn't tell us how long the relief lasted, how long it took to begin, who it worked for and who it didn't work for, and what other treatments they may have had.
Here's my biggest concern, though. The 2020 study didn't have an actual control group. The randomized double-blind stuff was just three different groups using different settings on the Lanier device. And they caught a bit of flack from this, from audiology bloggers and social media, annoyingly not from the highly regarded publisher of the paper. So in the follow-up study, they added a control group that wore headphones without the tongue device. That's not a control group. That's a group of people receiving a very different experience than the ones using the strange device that shocked their tongue. I frankly don't understand how any skeptical researcher or publisher would read these studies and have a conclusion other than, well, now we need to have a control group using a fake or inactive Lanier device. So the FDA requested and guided a third trial, but just as a reinforcement of the last two without any control groups at all. And it appears that upon completion, they granted approval.
Let me be very clear here. I do not think that the Lanier device is bullshit, nor do I think that Neuromod or any of the researchers are scam artists or even bending the truth. Most of my criticism is from the way the FDA guided and approved the research in combination with the product's draconian refund and resale policies. If you suffer from tinnitus and you have an expendable $5,000 that you'd otherwise spend at a blackjack table, it's probably worth a try. But either way, if this is a consideration for you, join a forum or a community for tinnitus sufferers, because Lanier devices have certainly helped people, they just seem to have a pretty mixed reputation in those communities.
But on the bright side, and this is kind of a weird thing to say out loud,
Right now seems like the best time in history for one to have tinnitus. For example, both Dr. Susan Shore and NeoSensory have been working on devices that are really, really promising that operate very similarly to Linear. And that's on top of a lot of ongoing, really promising studies involving bimodal stimulation, neuromodulation, and neurofeedback. I think that it is very possible that we will have accessible, effective treatment for tinnitus in the next decade. So after everything I told you, the last thing that you probably want to do is enter this economy and get your hearing checked. But even if you have never experienced any type of hearing loss or tinnitus, it's really important that you get a hearing test every 3 to 5 years, as you may have some hearing loss that you're not realizing, either in general or specific frequencies. And if that is the case, your brain is likely trying to compensate for it by filling in the gaps, which may eventually cause tinnitus, or by favoring neuronal connections that process the frequencies that still work well. For example, a common range of damage is called cookie bite hearing loss, I guess, because your range of hearing is a cookie and loud noise took a bite out of it. I don't know, I didn't name it. But within this cookie bite is where you hear things like talking and music, and if left untreated, other neuronal connections may get favored to compensate for the damage, leading to the damage getting worse without even things like loud noise exposure. A comprehensive hearing test starts with a pure tone test and audiogram, and even if you know how to administer them, you need another qualified person to run the test due to the subjective nature of hearing in general. I decided to torture myself for a day and got 3 free hearing tests from reputable nationwide hearing loss centers and retailers. 2 of them told me that I was showing early signs of hearing loss and would benefit from a hearing aid to prevent further deterioration.
On those lower frequencies I showed you, we can start with fitting a CIC hearing aid, which means that it hides completely inside your ear canal.
In the 3rd and final test, a certified audiologist at Miracle Ear produced a very similar audiogram to the other tests, but told me that I do not qualify for any intervention, and to come back if I notice any problems.
I'm going to put these little inserts into your ears, okay? Your SRT came down, you got down to 10 decibels. The lowest volume you could hear about 50% was 10 decibels, so that validates that this is good. A letter in about 2 to 3 weeks that says, congratulations, you don't have a hearing loss. You don't. You're not ready for hearing aids.
Hello. Before you run out and get a free hearing test at your nearest Miracle Ear, do note that it's a franchise, and for example, some of the stores are owned by Amplifon, a hearing aid manufacturer. Just to understand the audiogram process a bit better, I found an old test kit on a government auction website that had been recently calibrated in the last few months before it went on sale. It's all right. If anything, it's perfectly in line with how I've customized my mixing room to deviate from a flat frequency, as I tend to not hear sub-bass as well as mid and high. Now the million-dollar question is, how do you reliably get your hearing tested?
You need to find a hearing care professional who follows comprehensive best practices. Our professional organizations, American Academy of Audiology, American Speech Language Hearing Association, the Academy of Doctors of Audiology, all of them have clinical guidelines that should be followed by a hearing care professional in order to optimize someone's ability to treat their hearing loss effectively. The red flag that I typically tell everyone is that if they're offering a free hearing test, that is essentially a loss leader. We're all familiar with that concept of, like, you lure people in with something that's free so you can ultimately sell them. The only payoff for that is if you get someone to say yes to whatever it is that you have to sell. Clinics that typically charge for hearing evaluations, they end up offering you typically a higher level of service because they know that they have to justify the several hundreds of dollars that you'll likely spend to go in and get that evaluation, but they're also covering their costs as well. Now, it's a little bit different when you think of over-the-counter hearing aids. I mean, with over-the-counter hearing aids, there's no requirement really for anything. They're going to end up recommending whatever their product is, which is the other red flag, which is if there's a company that you're going in to see to treat your hearing loss, if they only offer one option, especially if that one option is something that they themselves manufacture, that's a red flag because no one device is perfect for everybody, whether you have a mild level hearing loss or a severe level hearing loss.
Let's just set some rules. No online tests. Aside from all the other things that could go wrong, the obvious thing is that hearing test headphones are specially made to have a flat EQ curve and they're routinely measured and calibrated, and your headphones are not. No free tests under any circumstances. Nobody who spent a decade
paid in hundreds of thousands of dollars to become an audiologist is working for free. You can either pay them for their professional courtesy and honesty, or you can let a hearing aid retailer pay them for a referral. No matter what a retailer or reviews of a retailer or product say, stay away from direct transactions of over-the-counter hearing aids or hearing loss treatment. You wouldn't buy a one-size-fits-all bones cast for a spinal injury, you'd go to an orthopedic surgeon. The exact same logic applies to your very fragile and complex inner ear. And finally, always make sure that you tilt your head back and use the soft tissue flaps that cover your eardrums before crowing. This video is the result of me reading quite a bit of emails and requests by viewers who were dealing with hearing loss or tinnitus and who were incredibly frustrated with the landscape that I've just described, and I wanted to thank them for sharing their stories with me. I actually learned a whole lot about my own hearing, how to preserve it, and what to do if I notice a problem, and I really hope that my viewers did too, and if all of this got just one of y'all to take your hearing more seriously, I'd be delighted. This channel operates as a nonprofit organization, and this video has no sponsors other than my Patreon members who routinely make deep dives and investigations like this possible. I also want to thank my Discord community for taking scammy online hearing tests and sharing their own experiences regarding hearing loss. If you want to join this community and have access to unreleased and released music, a Minecraft server, audio production assets, field recordings, and a monthly songwriting challenge, then my Patreon is as cheap as $1. Thanks for watching. Keep creating. Bye.